Welcome to Pastor Goss Sunday School Class, a weekly gathering in the main fellowship hall of Faith Assembly, North Fort Myers, Florida, featuring the insightful and relevant teaching of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. Thank you for joining us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
And so Satan is in there. That's part of his scheme, isn't it? Let me bring division. What's going to divide you? Well, you think horrible about yourself. Nobody loves me. Everybody's against me. And so that creates relationship problems. And then you think, well, my way is better than your way. And I think I know what's best. And I don't understand why they don't see it like I do. And I just think they're doing this. And that creates relationship problems, right? And so he attacks that area. Thirdly, what we're going to get into today is it says, love the Lord your God with all your mind. So Satan's prey is your mind. It's your mind. Now, your mind is the place where God communicates with you. Your mind is where your heart funnels through, your will funnels through it, and goes into your mind. So your mind is the decision-making process of your body. You do things because everything is filtered there. And so what he does is he attacks your mind. Now, there's a lot of... I couldn't get everything on your notes, I don't think, but I give you scripture references, but I'm going to read them and they'll be on the screen. Romans 8:5, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. Those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. So if you're thinking sinful things, your mind follows that through, it creates problems for you. You know, well, I don't think they like me. That's a wrong thought. Well, I know they don't like me. Well, that might be true. But it's okay. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. Have you ever looked at somebody making a decision and watched something maybe and tell you, what are those people thinking? Why don't they see that this is right? Why don't they see that this is wrong? Because Satan has blinded their mind. He's confused them. And he's caused them to think like this. Ephesians 4:17. The Lord's authority, I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. By the way, in this passage, Gentiles is talking about unbelievers. They're hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life of God that God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against Him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. But this isn't what you learned about Jesus Christ. Since you've heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from Him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. So many people who become Christians, and that's all of us in this room, I hope, have problems in wrong thinking. Because they're still being controlled in their thoughts before they accepted Christ. They're still allowing those thoughts to be in their mind, and they have not allowed their mind to be renewed by God. And therefore, we get confusing, don't we? Because, well, I know this is what God says, but you know what? This is the way it's always been in my life, and I have a problem with that. And so Satan brings confusion in your mind by giving you wrong thoughts. His procedure, how he does this, is lies. Now, let me make sure you understand this. Satan does not, when he lies, to you. It's not a bold-faced lie. You get up in the morning and you look in the mirror, and he doesn't look at you, and in your mind put, boy, are you ugly. Okay? That's not what he said. You're ugly. Boy, that's hideous. You just look horrible. Now, for some of you, he might. Guys, if he tells you that, never mind. No, here's what he'll do. He'll say, you know, you got a little bitty pimple on your face right there. And I'll bet today everybody's going to be looking at that. And they're going to look at you and think, how disgusting. Okay? Now, he has lied to you, hasn't he? He's told everybody's going to be looking. No. But all day, how will you be living it? What will you be thinking? Oh, I better hide this. You know, I don't want anybody to see it. I know everybody's looking. You know, he lies to you. Oh, you can do that. Nobody will ever know. He lies. Because if he can get you to believe a lie, he will get you to sin. John 8:44. You are the children of your father, the devil, and you love to do the evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. And when he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So, and notice what Jesus says. So when I tell you the truth, you don't believe me. Have you ever told somebody the truth and they don't believe you? Have you ever been told the truth and you don't believe it? That's how Satan operates. That's what he does. He takes what people say, what you hear through your mind, and he gets you to believe something that is not true. And isn't it amazing how, you know, the little kid gets scared to death because there's a monster under the bed? And you, no, look, I'll show you. I'll look, there's nothing under here. There's no one outside. There's no one there. Now listen to me. I'm telling you the truth. There is no monster. And you know what that kid's thinking? You're lying. Right? You and I have a hard time accepting the truth. We have a hard time accepting the truth about us. We have a hard time accepting the truth of what God says. And so all Satan does, subtly, he just tries to get you to not believe the truth by lying to you. And it's not a big lie, it's a little lie. Now, the greatest, perhaps one of the greatest places is illustrated for us is in the very beginning. And in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, let's read it. The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. And one day he asked the woman. Notice, he didn't tell the woman, because everybody knows if you tell her something, she's not doing it. Sorry, I got a little off subject. I don't know what got into me. Okay. One day he asked the woman, did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of these trees in the garden? What a subtle question. Of course we may eat the fruit from the trees in the garden, the woman replied. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we're not allowed to eat. God said you must not eat it or even touch it, and if you do, you'll die. You won't die, the serpent replied to the woman. God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you'll be like God, knowing both good and evil. The woman was convinced. Wow, that didn't take much. I didn't even say it that way. Okay. I'm getting... Help me, Otis. She saw... She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her, so she took some of the fruit and ate it. She gave some to her husband, guys, who was with her. Speak up, Adam. He ate it too. At that moment, their eyes were open, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness, so they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. Now, notice, here's what Satan does. Look at that thing, and I'm going to give you something. Notice what Satan did. He questioned God's word. Did God really say? Here's how it sounds today. Does the Bible really say that? Do you really think that's how it's interpreted? Does God really want you to do that? You see what he does? Did God say? And he gets you to question God. Did God really say? So when he questioned God, what she did was she took away from what God said. God said, you may eat freely, eat the fruit of every tree in the garden. Eve says, we can just eat the fruit. God says, you're free. She says, no, we're limited. God said, we can only eat the fruit. God says, you can freely eat it. Notice the difference? It's subtle, isn't it? But it makes a big difference. So she took away from God's word. He questioned it. She begins to question it. And then he denies God's word. He said, God never said that. You won't die. You'll be like God. God said, notice what Eve does. God said, if you eat the fruit of the tree, you're sure to die. Notice what Eve says there in the passage. God said, you must not eat it or even touch it. Have you ever noticed that we tend to make God's ways harder than what there are? She said, we can't even touch this. That's not what God said, is it? So she just took what God said, took away a little bit from it, added a little bit to it. You know, he said, you're not going to be, you'll just know what God, what it's like. You'll just buy into that. And she, okay, yeah, I like it. Why? Because she saw, here's the, it's good to eat, it's good. There's the pleasure thing, isn't it? I can do this. There's the will thing, isn't it? There's her heart, the emotion thing. I can do this. All of these play into this, and what Satan does, he tries to get you to believe a lie. Where are lies planted? Where do they come? They come from the mind, don't they? Now, you go into the New Testament. If you look at the New Testament, take away the Gospels, well, don't take them away, but know what's there. But you look at the rest of it and then exclude probably Revelation. But you will see in almost all of these, there's a problem in the church and in the area because someone in that group has believed a lie. And the false teachers have come in and said, you can do this. No, you can't. So Paul has to write in 2 Corinthians, notice what he writes to this church, a very gifted church. He says, I will continue doing what I have always done. This will undercut those who are looking for an opportunity to boast their work is just like ours. These people are false apostles. They are deceitful workers who disguise themselves as apostles of Christ. Now notice verse 14. I'm not surprised. Even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So I won no wonder that his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. In the end, they will get the punishment their wicked deeds deserve. So, what are they doing? They're propagating lies, aren't they? Isn't it amazing what people will believe? And here's a premise of advertising, in case you don't know it. A lie told often enough is eventually perceived as truth. And so you and I have to understand what Satan trying to do. He's trying to come against your mind because God says, I want you to love me with all your mind. What's that mean? I want your mind to be filled with me. But Satan gets into your head and tries to get you to believe something that is not true. But hear me. Please hear me. You are convinced it is. We are convinced it is true. All right? We convince ourselves. We tell ourselves this. This is the way it is. This is what I think. After all, what I think matters because I know the truth more than you do. Pride. And so you have these things all floating in together. And what's Satan trying to do? His purpose is to make you ignorant of God's will. Did God really say, no, then you don't have to do this? Really, God knows this is what's going to happen. No, it's not going to happen. And so he just tries to get you to do something that goes against what God wants. Romans 12:2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So what happens is I come to Christ, I have to start thinking differently than the way I've been thinking. And for the rest of my walk with God, I will have a battle in my mind to think what's truth. But unfortunately, we are like the person that says, my mind is already made up, don't confuse me with the facts. I already know what I believe, I'm convinced I'm right, and even if you tell me the truth, I don't believe you. That is the battle we ministers fight. How many times have I talked to somebody? This is what God says. This is what you have to do. This is the way. Well, I just don't really believe that. And you can't rationalize with the person whose mind's already made up. And you learn, okay, save your breath. Because they're convinced they're right. It's one of the battles you have when raising kids. They're always convinced they're right no more than you do. Right? Yeah. It's one of the battles you face in dealing with older folks. They've seen it all, know it all, do it all. They already know it all. Sorry. You see, God says, look, Satan says, look, if I can just get you to believe a little lie, I'm not going to bold face it. I'm not going to make it sound horrendous. I'm just going to, did God really say you couldn't eat it? Oh yeah, that's what he said. But we couldn't eat it or touch it. And then we make it harder. And now we've believed a lie, haven't we? So don't think that, well, if Satan tells me a lie, I'll know it. Oh, you don't know him well enough. And hear me, this is more important. You don't know you well enough. Because we all struggle with this. Ephesians 1:7. Don't act thoughtlessly. Think about what you're doing. But understand what the Lord wants you to do. You see, he wants you to miss God's will, because if you miss God's will, you miss God's blessings. And then you cause other people to miss God's will. Adam was right there by Eve. She believed the lie. He bought in with her. Big deal. All right? Yes, ma'am. And that's how it works. Just subtle, just little. We're not smart enough to think about what we're thinking and what it's doing to our lives. All right? Okay. And if you're going to love God with all your mind, you've got to believe the truth. So, what does God give us? He gives us his inspired word. Remember when Jesus was baptized, we're told that immediately he was led by the Spirit into the desert. We know that while he was there, he fasted for 40 days. Immediately coming out of that, what's the next thing he has to deal with? Satan. And how does Satan, if you read that passage, there's three of them, Christ answers three. If you'll notice, there is a conflict and the battle is centered around what does God say? And I want you to know something. I didn't print it here, but think back on this. Satan even quotes Scripture. Now, he quotes it out of context, but he quotes it. How does Jesus defeat Satan? By quoting Scripture. All three times, he quotes Scripture. Satan says, oh, you can do this. Throw yourself down. Nobody, you know, you want this. He'll turn the stones to bread. He can do that. Here, I can give you all the kingdom. Every time, what does he say? God's word says. God's word says. God's word says. Now, if that's how Jesus had to defeat Satan, how do you think you're going to defeat him? Well, yeah, God's word. But if you get into a battle of minds with Satan, you lose. If you try to convince yourself it's not that way, you lose. You know, Psalm 119, verse 11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I know what your word says. I'm going to follow it and obey it. I will think it. John chapter 16. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. That's good, right? I mean, if Satan's using lies, I need the truth. So what's the Holy Spirit going to do? The Holy Spirit is going to be in me to tell me the truth. Now, honestly, let's be honest here. You and I do not like to be told the truth sometimes. Don't want to hear it. I don't think that's right. And anytime you get into a little argument with God or the Holy Spirit about this, you're on the wrong end of that argument.
Yeah.
Now notice what it says. He will not speak on his own. He will tell you what he's heard. He will tell you about the future. Now, I think that has implications in twofold places. I think it's talking about the future of what's up ahead for us and in store for us, the hope that we have. But I think it's also, he tells us, look, if you make this decision, here's the future. If you don't listen to me here, here's going to be your future. I think he puts that within us. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. Now, here's what we know about God. God can't lie. It's not in his nature. He can't do it. So that means he's going to tell me truth. All that belongs to the Father is mine, and that is why I said the Spirit will tell you what he receives from me. So we have the Word of God. That Word of God, please hear this. I need to read the next one. Let me read it. 2 Timothy. 3:16, all scriptures inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what's wrong in our lives. Isn't that wonderful? Okay, no. It corrects us when we're wrong. It teaches us to do what's right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. So there's two ways that God tells you his word. He tells you his word through the Bible. It says, this is what it is, this is how it works, this is what's right, this is what's not right. And it's there to help you, to correct you, to change you, to keep you on track. Not to question it, but to obey it. But he also gives you his word through his Spirit. And once you become a Christian, the Spirit of God lives in you. Then there is that voice that you hear that sounds a lot like you. Some would call it a conscience. I would maybe agree with that, only it's a conscience on steroids. all right, that is there to tell you, it's that little voice. He's not loud. He doesn't shout at you. He just whispers. You have it. It's there. You can pay attention to it, or you can ignore it. And it says, no, that's not right. That isn't good. What you're saying is true, but your attitude and the way you're saying it's wrong. He's telling you the truth, isn't he? Now, the thing is, you want to know how you and I operate with truth? It's very easy to know. How do you respond when someone comes up to you and tries to correct you about something? You know, you said this, and the way you said it was right, but your attitude was really wrong, and you should be a little more careful about how you say things. Oh, no, my heart was right. Okay, your heart was right. Your mouth wasn't. Okay? And do you say to them, thank you, I'll work on that? No. No, you don't understand. My heart's right. I didn't mean it that way. Oh, you know, yeah. That's how we operate with truth. Okay, I'm going to overstate this, but that's what teachers do. We hate the truth. Bottom line, we don't like it. Right, because I've got a pride. I've also got this heart that is very, you know, wants to tell me something else. And so when the truth comes, we just don't like it. Well, Pastor, how could you say that? Jesus always spoke the truth and they killed him. Because they didn't like it. It didn't line up with what they wanted. It didn't line up with what they believed. And they killed him. That's how we respond to truth so many times in our life. And that's what creates so many problems for us. You go to the doctor tells you you got this, and you need to do this and this. I don't believe those quacks. They're just in it for the money. I don't need to listen to them. And so we wrestle with truth. And who's behind that? Satan. And I need to understand his schemes. Because he wants me to not accept the truth in life. Jesus says, I am the way, the only way to God. I am the truth. And I am the life. And if I'm going to love God with all my mind, then that means I have to love him with truth. And that isn't always easy. But you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So why are we in bondage so much? Because we don't know the truth. And therefore we don't experience the freedom. Yeah.
It's a process, so it's not a one-time thing.
That's why you will be dealing with this the rest of your life. Because you're as stubborn as a donkey. Yeah, I'm quoting my wife there. She just said it to me yesterday. Just kidding. But you see, that's how this battle works, and that's part of the battle we're fighting. God says, look, I want you to love me with all your heart. But down inside in the emotion and the heart part of you, there's these insecurities, there's these issues, there's this guilt. There's all these things that go on that Satan just keeps accusing you of, and you sometimes believe them and buy into them. He says, I want you to love you with all your heart. I want you to love me with all your soul. I want your will to be given. I want your will to be my will. I want our wills to mesh. I want you to love me with everything you've got in that, in the soul part of you. I want it to all be together. And I want you to love me with all your mind. I want to be the only thing that's in your head. And you'll know the truth. And the truth sets you free. And that's the battle, and that's the temptation. And that's how Satan operates. Now, I know we've got one more here next week. Okay?
So what are the
Hold it. My wife wants to talk. The room should be silent. Yeah.
God's word more than what we're thinking or the enemy's trying to lie to us about. Believe him.
Okay, next week.
If you would like to hear more from Pastor Goss or the Ministry of Faith Assembly, please go to our website, faith.ag, or email Pastor Goss at phil@faithnfm.com. Pastor Goss Sunday School Class is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida. Thanks for listening.